Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Hello, and welcome to Black Urban America. This is Carlton Steed, in for Kenneth Jones. Tonight's guest is Miss Esther Elijah, author of The Shift. Before we get into our topic for the night, I want to say hi to our listening audience. Thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. And most of all, I want to thank our guests for appearing on the show. Hello, Miss Elijah. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Okay,
it's
so you want to tell the audience?
Invited. Thank you.
You're welcome. You want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and then about your book?
Yes. I'm 21 years old. If you can tell from the accent, I am from Haiti. And
okay.
I wrote this book about racism because growing up, I saw it, and it's just basically my perspective on it.
Okay. So is your book available? You want to let the audience know how they might be able to get your book?
Yes, it is available on Amazon.
Okay, so the book is called The Shift, and it's available on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so is this racism from a Haitian point of view in terms of culturally things like that and country-wise, or is this worldwide? How is this?
It is worldwide. The inspiration I had was to write a story that reflects today's society. But then I realized that in order to view it that way, you have to have context. And so I decided to make it into a series instead. And this is just the first book of the series. And it is about slavery times. And it quickly shifts what slavery was because this story is placed in a future time. And white
mm-hmm.
people are the ones who are slaves, and black people are the slave owners. And it's basically to sort of put it on the other shoe in a way so that we can have a different perspective.
Mm. Okay, so that's the point of view from the book, The Shift, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so you reversed it.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay, so in doing so, what were your findings?
Actually learned a lot that I did not know of. For example, I found out about Yoruba faith, which is an African spirituality system. And it sort of showed me that even though we're not in slavery times, we're still affected by what happened during slavery because our idea of what's good is everything that is in Western civilization. because I remember growing up and as a Christian, my household is very conservative. And it was always Christianity is good, African spirituality is bad. It's good versus evil. And I never actually thought more on it until I started doing research for this book. And it showed me that Voodooism, which is in Haiti, along with other faith that is based on African spirituality, it's there because slaves who went there during the transatlantic slaves, they, you know, brought their faith with them. And it's just interesting how we always view voodoo as evil and yet Christianity as good. And so I decided that I would put that as part of the book as well.
Okay. Since you mentioned voodoo, just can you give us a little background on what voodoo actually is?
Yeah. So voodooism, well, I don't know where else it's practiced, but I know in Haiti it's definitely practiced. And it's basically, I would say Yoruba faith is an umbrella, and voodooism is basically a branch from that. Of course, it has been watered down by Christianity, but mainly it is practices from Yoruba.
Okay. And what's the pillars of the practice of voodooism? What are the belief system, if we can describe it that way?
Yeah, they have many ritual practices. You know, they dance, they sing, they have spirit possession, they do ritual healing, and a respect for our ancestors, and it's also a search for divination through orishas. I don't know if you're aware of orishas, but it is basically all these different elements that are part of the Yoruba faith, but with Christianity and mixed with the culture of Haiti.
Okay, that's from the Yoruba tribe, right, in Africa. What's that, West Africa?
Yes, West Africa.
Okay. So how did voodoo become synonymous with evil?
Well, I don't exactly know how it became so, but I know growing up that's how it was, and I always just took it as it is. But as I, you know, grew, I realized that, no, why is it that everything that is associated with Africa is bad, and yet everything that is associated with Western civilization is good? And I, you know, that's what brought me to do research on that.
Okay. All right. So basically, voodoo is a form of ancestor worshiping.
Yeah.
Okay. And because I know, like in terms of Hollywood, they have voodoo with the people I don't know if they kill them and bring them back to life in there, like a walking mummy and stuff like. What is that concept? That's a Hollywood concept.
Yeah, it's definitely a Hollywood concept because the system is, you know, you have, it's there for good. You know, it's ritual healing. It is to connect to the orishas. It is to, you know, connect with your ancestors. But because it's a different value system from Christianity, I think that's why it's considered bad. Although it's interesting because we don't view other religions such as Buddhism and Hinduism as that, and yet the ones that are from Africa, those are considered evil.
Right. Well, I kind of get you what you're saying because people from Africa are portrayed as primitive, especially in terms of the media in the early stages of the Hollywood scene. We've seen the movie Tarzan about a white dude that fell out of a plane, and he's the only one that could talk to the animals and control the animals, and the brothers been down there all that time, and, you know, they couldn't do nothing, half of the things that this guy could do who was raised by the apes. So, and you're talking about that type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's a Hollywood portrayal by Western society, Europeans, of African so-called society, because we know the African society was a high society, and then the people were very intelligent, and I'm not saying that people that live in huts aren't intelligent either. I'm not saying that by a long shot.
Right, but it's, you know, that stereotype that's associated with African. Right.
They live close to the earth, and it's a reason why you live close to the earth, and aiming at that. You know, if you want to look at the natives in the Tarzan movie, it's a reason why you live close to the earth. And the farther you move away from the earth, the more polluted you become, because you're not living within nature. So
right, like, you know, to be one with nature, I think that's beautiful.
Right. Okay, so now I think it was Dr. Ben. You know Dr. Ben?
I don't.
Okay. He's like African archaeologist. He spoke about how all major religions have its origin in from Africa. African cultural and spiritual religions and stuff like that. So even though it may be a European or Western, whatever you want to call it, influence, and have the face of Europeans, it's has its origin in Africa. So, you know, so I don't really know much about voodoo. I'm sorry to say, except for the Hollywood version of voodoo myself. But I did read that it was not at all what the Hollywood people portrayed it as to be. And maybe that was his way of saying, I don't understand this. I'm in fear of it. In another way, you should fear it. Don't get near it. I don't understand it. It's something you could use for you. Beg your pardon?
No, I just said what you don't understand, you fear.
Right. Right. And what you fear, you sometimes destroy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you don't have to one way you can destroy something is to abandon it. You know, that's another way you can destroy something. You can destroy culture by abandoning it. You abandon your roots, and you never really know what that is that you left, because your ancestors, contemporary ancestors, have abandoned it, you know what I'm saying, for generations. So therefore, it's far from you, and you, in terms of us being slaves, we become indoctrinated towards the Western culture and thinking. Even if it is against us. Okay, tell us a little more about your book.
Not just about slavery in terms of black and white, but it's also about, you know, Christianity and African spirituality, as I mentioned. But the third component is men and women and their established roles in society. I think that we all just sort of took in our idea of civilization from, you know, Europeans. And I think, you know, it's very interesting that when I was doing research, I also saw that, you know, in ancient Africa, men and women had, you know, honorable roles, and it wasn't just, you know, men are superior and women are inferior. So
right.
I think that's very interesting, because today everything that we see as civilized is directly from Western civilization. So it's also about that as well, because in this society they place in the future, not only are black people, women are superior. So there's also that shift as well.
So you're saying you're applying to how they take the man out of the household and put the woman at the head of the household and divide the family in that manner?
No, the men are not out of the household, but the women have, you know, all the leadership roles, basically.
Okay. Not in competition with the male, in unison with the male. Is that what we're saying?
No, it's not in unison at all. It's basically a complete mirrored story from the past. So in the past, men, you know, had leadership roles and women stayed in the house and did housework. And so it's just that reality, but the opposite.
Oh, okay. All right. So in terms of women taking being in the forefront more, is that a good or a bad thing? Is that good, bad, or what do you think about that?
I wouldn't say it's either good or bad, but it just, you know, just so we can reflect on how it is that we got here. Because if we dissect the past, then I think we can really understand each other today.
Okay. Because I think the ancestors, in terms of the deities, they had a male and a female deity.
Right. They had unison, as you mentioned. Yeah.
Right. So there was no suppression of females, anything like that. Also,
right.
They had queens. You know, so then I think they might have had some matriarchal cultures and stuff like
Society.
That in Africa.
Yeah.
Right. So it seems like European cultures basically centered around a male. And I guess up until more recent times, it basically suppressed even a white female. So we weren't even talking about the black female, but even the white female was suppressed. I mean, I think it was one time when she wasn't even allowed to vote. You know, she couldn't
do
a lot of things. So why do you think it would be important to suppress the female?
Because I think sometimes, you know, we minimize certain oppressions because, you know, just like we say, you know, racism doesn't exist today, we say sexism doesn't exist today. And I feel like, right, and, you know, like I said, I originally wanted to write a story about, you know, this decade specifically, but I, you know, realized that, you know, you have to have background information. And I feel like if I start from the very beginning, then when I do write a story about this decade in its mirrored reality, then we'll really understand, you know, what I'm trying to say better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so racism. So when did all of this come about, this whole concept about race and who's good, who's bad? Is that an ancient concept? Is that a more contemporary in terms of mankind? Is it more of a recent concept in terms of mankind?
I don't understand the question. Is it a recent concept as to racism?
In terms of racism. Is that a recent concept in terms of mankind, not in terms of today, in terms of the existence of man?
It's
like in ancient times, did they have racism back then?
It's not a recent concept at all because, you know, racism has existed for centuries. And we have come a long way. We have made progress. But I think it's important to not minimize the struggles today simply because of that progress.
Okay, so right about now, what are you in terms of some of the things we see happening in the black community, in the urban, especially the urban communities? What would you say? We have the high murder rate. You know, we have the family structure has been broken down in terms of So are any of these things, in your opinion, a result or something that has been impacted upon by racism?
Absolutely. I think, you know, everything in society today is a direct result of the past. And, you know, we look at police brutality today and, you know, people look at it and they say that, you know, if only they had reacted this way, if only they had acted that way. But I think it's not true. I think, like, you know, in our mind, we still have certain ideas, and that includes, you know, police officers, because when you see a black man and you decided to pull your gun out, if you're honest with yourself, you would not have acted that way if it was a white man, because in your mind, you know, you might say you're not racist, but you still have these ideas in your mind that the black man is more dangerous. So I think that because of the past, you know, like, we have all these expectations and we have all these ideas because of the past.
Okay. Funny you should say that, because there's an experiment they did on YouTube where they had a black and a white guy in a open carry state. Each guy walked down the street with an AR-15. That's like an M16 rifle. They walked down the street with the gun over their shoulder. And the white guy walked down the street. He was approached by one police officer, and basically just asked him why he was carrying it, you know, what was, you know, up to, and, you know, and stuff like that. Talked to him, blah, 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 left. The black guy, the cop, got out of the car, drew his gun, told him to lay down on the ground on his stomach, and they arrested him. And those were different police officers, but they were, you know, they just show how the black man was treated differently.
Exactly. The approach is always different.
And, you know, it's funny because you would think that black people have a monopoly on violence and murder. And, you know, if you look at the history of this country, it's built on violence, murder, rape, you know, torture, you know, lynching, things like that, lying and stuff like that. So it's funny and... You know, say like the indigenous people here, you know, when they first saw those European faces come up on the shores, I can't imagine that they imagined that they would be exterminated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm just speaking of that because of the level of violence it took to do that, even though I think they say 80-90% of them was killed just through germ warfare from disease, contact with them from disease that killed a lot of the indigenous people off. Which brings me to another aspect that I'm just kind of coming to light about the indigenous people here in America. They said that Africans have been here, people of African descent have been in this country, were here before the Mongols or the Europeans had been here. And when they arrived here, they said, people called the Californians. Californians, the Califes and things like that were actually African, what we call like African descent, people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that specifically, but I do know that before European traveling, Africans immigrated everywhere, and that's why in so many places we have Aboriginals, which is, you know, the first people of that land, and, you know, most of the time they, you know, their skin, it's dark skin, and so I just find it interesting that we don't know anything about that history, and yet, you know, we know everything about Columbus and so on and so forth when, you know,
which is
African,
a lie,
right?
Right, which is the whole story about Columbus is a lie.
Exactly, Africans.
That's a big lie.
Way before Europeans started their traveling.
Right. And that's how Columbus knew he could get over here. Nobody
exactly.
in their right mind would take three ships over the edge of the earth. 3. Right? Well, we know that, right? If it's a 4,
yeah.
he's only going to be a 4 with one ship. 3 ships, he knows it's something over there, right?
And even with that, he did not really discover anything because there were already people there. And it's funny,
we
never talk about the people living there. We talk about this white person who signed this land when people were already living in this land.
Right. And in fact, Haiti is one of the places where they came. They started to, when they first came over here. All of those little islands down there, that's actually where they came.
Mm-hmm. Haiti, along with the Dominican Republic, has Hispaniola, yeah.
Right. Puerto Rico and things like that. So, you know, but 2, the victor goes to spoil the war. And when you have power, you get to tell or dictate his story. So
exactly.
That's the problem with that. So
the story,
you know, but,
of the
you
person
know.
And the power is the one, you know, that survives.
Right. Right. You know, and you know, it's sad that the person in power does not want to tell the truth. But what good is a history story if it's not true? You can't grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use that. That's like Santa Claus. You can't grow from a Santa Claus story. There's no guy in a sled with 6, 8 reindeers, you know, coming around on the 25th of December giving little kids gifts, especially in the hood. So, you know, I mean, it's amazing because that's the same story he fed to his own people. So is he oppressing his own people also?
I'm sorry, what was that?
As he fed the story, the lies being fed to his own people.
Sadly, it is, because I remember in school, studying in school, a story that was told, and we had no other story. And so it was after doing my own individual, you know, research, that I found out it's, you know, all a lie. It's not, you know, what it is.
Right.
But that is the story that is told in Haiti in history books, of course.
Right. It's a monstrous story, actually. It's a horror story, not a story of adventure or anything like that. No such thing. It's a hideous story. Okay, so I'll just get back to you, your book and other things that you might have, you know, discovered or revealed in your book. Is there anything else you want to share?
Absolutely. You know, I also found out that in society, it's not just white people who look down on Africans. As black people, we also look down on Africans, which is, you know, the saddest thing I can imagine. Because, you know, we see ourselves as above them because, you know, we live in the United States, but we're one and the same. We're all black. And so it's interesting that sometimes the hate we get is not from others. The hate we get is from our own selves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so,
something like the plantation. That's a plantation mentality.
Exactly.
Okay. So how do Africans feel about, since you mentioned that, how do, or some Africans, because we don't know how all Africans feel, but is it a theme over there that, you know, they feel better than the Africans that were taken in bondage?
That I don't know.
Okay. All right. So I know some brothers from Africa. They were very friendly and kind people.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that I know, and they don't appear to think that they're better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that there are people. I mean, there are people just at this period who think they're better than the next guy anyway. So, you know, I was just wondering, you know, if that's because I know that if they're being fed some story about us being these raving lunatics, which we do have a certain group of people that portray that here in America. And we have we being fed a story about them being these backwards in the bush spear juggling. And there's nothing wrong with being in the bush juggling a spear, because then the Maasai, you know, that's the tribe, and they kill lions with spears. Not too many people were like the great so-called great hunters would want to kill a lion with a spear. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but they want us to think that these guys have no advancement, no sense of advancement, technology, no intelligence to move past the so-called agricultural hunter gatherer stage, that they, you know, wouldn't be able to, you know, do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not shooting that stage down, because the more I think about it, the closer, like I said, the closer you live to nature, the less harm you do in nature or to nature. And the less harm you do to nature, the less harm you do to yourself. Because we live off of the earth, like a child lives off of its mother. So those who don't share that concept will continue to destroy
and
pollute the earth.
The only reason we see these tribes as uncivilized is because of our own definition of civilization.
Right.
And that definition is, you know, from Western civilization. So it's interesting how everything that is not of Western civilization is considered, you know, uncivilized.
Right. Right. That's a one group of people believing that their culture is superior than the other individual's culture.
Exactly.
I think they call it ethnocentrism or something like that. Studied that when I was in college, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually using it in a conversation. So right. So, you know, and you just can't think that you're superior just because you are more violent, because that seems to be the only thing that the superiority is coming in at. You're able to be more violent and subdue people. Therefore, you have the appearance of being superior in terms of that way, being more violent and conniving and, you know, dividing. But and that is a sense of power. I'm not going to say that's not a power, but that's not the kind of power that you want. Just like, you know, like there's some things that are good and there's some things that are bad. You don't want to drive a wedge between men and cause bloodshed to gain power. That's wrong. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, so that kind of power is like, you know, it's poison for everybody, all parties involved. Now, another concept that they have about black and white, since you had mentioned that, is that, you know, what I heard, that white is the symbol of death in the East. And in the West, black is the symbol of death, like darkness, but white, like, I know that the Asians, they were like white for funerals and stuff like that. So in Africa, is that a symbol of, you know, that have any kind of, you know, meaning, opposite?
Not that I know of, no.
No, okay. All right, so, you know, I had heard that, so I don't know how true that is in African society. I know that I heard that the Asians wear white for funeral, and in the East, white is the funeral, you know, like we might wear black here, they might wear white over there. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how true that is, or not, but it could be. I don't know. I was just checking in with you, see if you had you ran across that. Yeah. Okay. So, and then we have this whole thing about, again, I think this thing about power, it supports any kind of racism, because if you have power to put your racist plan into existence, then that makes part of what you're saying seem like, oh, that's right, because he's better than me, because I can't get his foot off my neck. Just like a
mm-hmm.
wrestler, say wrestling, and I can't get you off of me. You got me pinned to the mat. One, two, three, I'm out. I can't do nothing with this guy. He's got me. I can't get out of this. He's got me.
And
So psychologically, you walking around like, he's got me. I can't do nothing. I can't get out of this. You're like, you're on this hamster wheel. I can't get off this wheel. I can't get off this. I'm stuck on this wheel. I'm stuck. So if you have that and you pass that down from generation to generation, and all you got are you started off saying, I'm just using a saying, you know, the man's got his foot on my neck. If you're still saying that 200 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Houston, we have a problem, right?
Yeah, it then becomes all that you know, because that's all you've ever heard, that's all you've ever seen, and so it becomes the story that no one else is telling you, but you're telling yourself at some point.
Right. Your crutch. They call it a crutch, I think. You use that as a crutch for why you are what I call failure to thrive, why you can only reach a certain point, or why you can't reach a certain point. It's because of the man. So, you know, and then we all know that many, everyone can try. Not all who try succeed. We know that. But nothing beats a failure but a try. So it's not always the man that is our problem, even though we may have someone with their foot on our neck, with many doors locked, right? And somebody who, for all practical purposes, may be trying to ostracize us from, you know, having a better quality of life in general. But that shouldn't stop you. All right? And, you know, you know, the slaves revolted all the time. They never speak about that in history either. They speak on the only thing you know about is John Brown and Nat Turner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have slave. You don't create all these laws about slave revolts if you don't have a lot of slave revolts, right?
Yeah.
You don't create a police force, right, to hunt these guys down, keep in order, if you don't have a problem with slaves revolting. And I was saying that to say that and we should not rely on, I don't want you to give me the wrong way, in no way, shape, or form do I think we should rely on Hollywood to send that message out. But we must gotta understand that when Hollywood sends a message out, you don't have to take, that's not the gospel truth. You have to do your own research. And you have to search for yourself. You cannot search for yourself for you in Hollywood, because that's not real, period.
Exactly, because there are certain messages and information that if they were to be put out, it wouldn't honor, you know, the history of this, you know, great country. So, of course,
right,
there's certain information that, you know, that's hidden because we don't want to portray this ugliness, you know, of the country. We just want to see the beauty of it all.
Right. Right. And you don't portray people who you perceive as being weak, strong.
Right.
Because those messages that Hollywood sends out, positive or negative, can influence people. It can influence you to do negative things. It can influence you to do positive things. So if you keep sending out a positive message, then in terms of being on that hamster wheel, they jump off of the hamster wheel. And then you got a problem. Now you got a Malcolm X running around, you know, saying something that's about unity, which you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want these people to stop what they're doing and get unified, then get focused on something that's going to help, you know, them become perpendicular. So you got to keep them on all fours where they don't belong, and in a chaotic state, and that's how you oppress them. So it seems to be where we are now, what I've seen to be have a problem with is the fact that slavery had to be 10 times worse than what we're going through right now. You know, And
Absolutely.
Seems like, you know, we might be the number one cause of, well, we are the number one cause of homicides to blacks as blacks. And we know whites are the number one cause of homicides, murders to whites, simply because we don't generally live amongst each other. People generally kill people whom they're in close proximity to. We understand that. But just coming from a system of chattel slavery, how did we just, that wasn't that long ago. You understand what I'm saying? We just came out of the civil rights movement less than 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from all this to brotherhood, I'm black and I'm proud, to just people running around the street blowing each other's heads off. No respect for the elderly, adults, anything, children, anything. It's like we have a certain segment of the population that people like to focus on, which makes it sound appear to be a lot of people, but it's enough. It's too many. And, you know, how did racism, or did racism, in your opinion, help that segment develop and get to the point to where it is, where it's cool to be a thug now? And, like, you know, it's like all this negative stuff is, like, it's cool to be, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, did racism have anything to do with that, in your opinion?
I think it's more so the media that has more influence on that rather than, you know, racism. Because the media portrays what is cool and, you know, what is acceptable, what is, you know, good to do. And I feel like what we see is what we do. And so with, you know, that whole behavior, I feel like, you know, it's portrayed, you know, in music and in television. And so it, you know, to the general population, it becomes more acceptable to do.
Hmm. So who controls the media?
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like that's when it all goes back to, you know, the overall system, because, you know, people of power are the ones, you know, who have the authority to put out certain messages, or, you know, who influence certain things. Because, you know, sometimes you want to rap about, you know, life and, you know, all those good things, but that's not what makes you successful. And so then you fall into that category of wanting to please society. And so you start rapping about, you know, violence and sex and money and so on, just so that you can be successful, because that is, you know, what people in power will want to put out there, if that makes sense.
Right. So is it, so, you know, a friend of mine said, whenever you see something being repeated, that's not an accident, that's not a coincidence. That's
exactly.
a system, that's a plan. So
mm-hmm.
in terms, so if the media is pushing these negative images, then whoever controls the media wants to push all negative images into the minds of people to keep them in a negative state of mind, because you can hardly grow in a positive way in a negative state of mind. So you'll be against yourself forever as long as you perceive negative behavior as positive. So if
mm-hmm.
I think it's okay to murder my brother, you know what I'm saying? You know, we had an
mm-hmm.
incident here where a guy was just murdered off of an argument. There's some car thing, like almost hit the car. He got out the car. These guys shot him down. He got out arguing. And whoever was in the other car shot this guy down. Like, there's really no need for that. So they could have just drove off, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Mm-hmm. And then it
didn't.
Becomes a cycle, because the more we see, the more we become desensitized to it. And so we don't feel the need to make a change because we've already been desensitized. And so the cycle just continues.
Okay. Yeah, so what I was trying to allude to is that maybe that in terms of being racist, things like that. One way to subdue people is to subdue their minds. So instead of, because we're not in shadow slavery anymore, but you can put the shackles on the mind, and you
exactly.
You have the same
it's not
effect.
So much visible, but it's invisible.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So in your opinion, does racism exist? And I know we can't measure racism, but just to say, you know, from anywhere from a 1 to 100, like where would you put racism on a barometer? Where do you see it?
From 1 to 100?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's exactly at 50, because it's not so obvious anymore, and that's why people, you know, dismiss it, because, you know, they're like, oh, you know, we're no longer, you know, in that time, you know, racism is over, we've had a black president, this, that, and the third. But I feel like it still exists, because everything that we have today is a result of the past, because the black communities are much poorer, and it is because of everything that has happened in the past. Each time that we would make a progress, they would tear it down. They, you know, would burn down what we've built. And so without any
or shoot down.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Right. Without any proper reparations, yes, we don't have any obvious racism, but, you know, we're still affected because we are where we are today because, you know, of the past.
Future is a summation of your past experiences, the
mm-hmm.
present and the future. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. And part of what inspired me to write The Shift is because I am starting to see a shift in our society, because we are starting to love ourselves. Because I remember growing up, we had this light skin obsession, but now it's all about, you know, loving the melanin in you. And it's like, I love it, because we're starting to love ourselves. We're starting to embrace our natural hair, you know, everything about us. And, you know, what was hated in us, our features, you know, our lips, you know, our bodies, it's all being copied now. And so I feel like there is a shift taking place. And so that made me realize that, you know, although this is a fictional story, it could take place because, you know, we're transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So The Shift, I guess that wouldn't be fair to ask how it ends. That's, you don't do that about books, right?
No.
Okay.
And it hasn't really ended, because there will be a book 2 and 3, because right now it's just about slavery times, you know, around, let's say, a mirror of the 1800s. And the second mm-hmm. book would probably be about, you know, segregation. And the third
right.
book would be a reflection of, you know, this decade.
Hmm. Okay, well, looking at the numbers, it seems like we're on route to self-extermination. The expressway to that, if we keep up with the numbers that we do here in Chicago, Los Angeles, and Texas, and Philadelphia. So that's another show. So, all right, so we're at 50 because it's more, it's not as forward as it used to be.
Exactly, but it's still there because, you know, our mentality.
Okay, so say 50, is that we're at 50%. How we get a black president?
Hmm?
How did we get a black president?
Because, you know, so much that there are things that we can't do, because we can do it all, it's just harder to do. because it's taken until now to have that. And, you know, it would be, even if we did have a black president, I do believe that it will be hard for a black person to be a president. And so that's why it's at 50, because it is possible, but it is much harder.
Okay, so Barack Obama, he was coming in the front door in the master bedroom, you know, so I mean, he did that at about a 50% racism on level. That's a hell of a feat. Blacks make up about, what, 12-13% of the population, they say. I don't know how true that is, but just to say that is true. So
there's,
he had to get into
that. Percent of them. Hmm? Sorry, I didn't hear that. You said there's about 15% of what?
Blacks make up about 12% of the population.
That is something I don't believe.
Right.
Because I feel like, well, I don't know the specific numbers, but in my opinion, I feel like we are at a much higher percentage than that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of friends say the same thing. Same thing. So it's like, that can't be it. So, you know, but if it is it, let's just say it is it,
mm-hmm.
How did he get in office? Because that's not a, and we're not notorious for voting.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, in this day and age, it is possible. But I do think that it is, you know, much harder, like I mentioned. So it is, you know, possible because we did have a black president, but I don't think that means exactly that racism is over necessarily.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think so either, but I just had to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people might look at that or perceive that to say, oh, it's that's over. He had a black president.
Right.
You know, some people might perceive that to say that it's over, but I mean, in some places, even he better not go just because of the color of his skin right here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Hello, Ms. Elsa. You're how are you? Kenny Jones. This is the one you've
Kenny
been
calling. Kenny Jones, welcome.
How you doing, Ms. Elsa? Hello?
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 Where is
it? It's Mr. Jones.
Yeah. Where's the guest?
She's there.
Hello, Ms. Esther?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I must have said your name wrong, huh?
No, I did, you know, hear you.
Oh, interesting concept. I just want to thank you for coming on the show, and I apologize that I couldn't interview you, but I'm in a situation that I'll probably be interrupted probably about 4 minutes. And so, but I listened to the whole show, interesting concept on the ship, but like Carl said, there are people today, there are black folks that believe that racism is over. You'd be
mm-hmm.
surprised. And I mean, some of them are millennials. Some of them are Generation X. And then there's a new generation called the Y generation. That's the millennials are the parents. That's the children of the millennials. So a lot of people think that racism is over, and it's kind of interesting that people still feel that way in 2019. That's why I'm kind of glad that we got the president we have now to say that, hey, he's a white supremacist. Oh, I should say that.
Right.
He has another way of thinking. That, but anybody that said they got bikers behind them, core other culture thugs, call Mexicans rapists and call Africa a shithole, I don't know what you may call that person. So I just want to thank you for coming on the show. So, Carl, take it back.
Thank you for having me.
Huh?
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I give you back the caller.
Okay, we got another caller. We're going to try to get this caller in here for one quick minute, see what contribution we have. Hello, caller. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Hello, this is Q.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hey, Q, how you doing? Yes, sir.
Good, good. Thank you for having me on, you know, letting me call. And I'd like to thank the author for sharing her information. And I have a question. Like, here in the United States, it seems like, you know, the descendants of the Africans and the former slaves, it seems like they are negatively affected by, you know, that whole slavery thing. And they have, like, I don't know, like a mental stigma where they self-inflict a lot of destruction on their community and everything like that. And it seems to be tied to racism, you know, the whole thing of, you know, going through that slavery thing. And I was wondering if anything like that was going on in Africa.
That's an interesting question.
I mean, we have like a lot of things, not just that we hurt each other, but just our image of ourselves. Like, we always trying to lighten our skins and, you know, straighten our hair and stuff like that.
Right. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I was wondering if you know, back in the motherland, if how racism has affected them.
Well, I don't know. Miss Eliza, what about in Haiti? Is that happening in Haiti?
Yes, I was just about to say, I can't speak for, you know, people who live in Africa. But in Haiti, it is, you know, as you mentioned, because growing up, we had this idea that the lighter you are, the more beautiful you are. And, you know, our idea of beauty is one that is very much allied with Western civilization. Because, you know, the darker your skin is, the more you portrayed as ugly. Because, you know, my own grandma, you know, she tends to look at it that way. And so when my cousins would marry, if they were marry a white person, you know, she would get so happy. And it's just so sad because I think she thinks that way because, you know, it's been passed down from generation to generation. She doesn't, you know, know any better because that's all she's ever known. That's all she's ever heard. And so that becomes her own perspective. And I think that's so sad because she's taken on this idea of beauty. She doesn't see herself as beautiful because she's dark. And it's just, that's just the way it is because everything that, you know, we idealize is European.
On that note, we're going to have to say goodbye because we have exactly about 45 seconds left. I want to thank Ms. Esther Elijah, whose book is called The Shift. It's available on Amazon Records. I want to thank you.
Hold it now!